Blog Talk Radio.
I'm on.
Conviction to the Redemption by Stephen L. Bobo.
Everybody, Stephen Bubble here, Bozilla, if you will. First of all, let me say this real quick. I want to give a shout out to my daughter and her mother in North Carolina with the hurricane approaching that way. Please, if you guys will keep them in prayer, because, you know, that's my baby girl, that's my daughter. That's a long story, but, you know, I have to do that on another show. But that's my baby girl, and I just want her to be safe. Daddy's not there, but Daddy has her in his prayers. All right, everybody, Bozilla is back once again with another show here on Bozilla Blog Talk. Hopefully my guest is on the phone. Danielle, is he there?
Not yet, Mr. B.
Okay.
Freestyle.
Okay. Well, if he doesn't show up, then we will put you in, and then you will do something we said we're going to do on regular Facebook Live today. But I think we'll end up doing a little bit here, and then we'll take it over to Facebook Live tomorrow. Until my friend shows up, I just want to talk about what is going on with you guys and how do you guys feel about the schools not coming back. To me, I think it is something that should have been addressed before now. You waited almost to the last minute to tell everybody, hey, we're not going to school this year. You know, all the seasons are canceled in sports besides basketball, but you see how they're doing basketball. Football has been officially canceled. No home games at stadiums. It's going to be all you know, no fans allowed in the stadiums. Pretty soon, this is going to be all over. They're saying that with schools, you know, that right there is something that I say I get it because I don't know if I want my child to go to school, but then again, I don't want them to be left behind either. Now, for people who are in these school systems, you know, and we talked about this before, the inner city schools versus the suburban schools. The kids in the suburban schools have already had laptops and all those type of things to do online schooling. Let's talk about the kids in the inner city who might not have it. And if they do have it, there is that many to pass out. Like I said before, what if you have five or six kids in the same school, kids, and they're on different grades? So you're going to get four different laptops? Or are everybody going to do it at different times? So I bet you nobody's actually thought about that. But my thing is, Danielle will probably come on a little bit later, talk about the kids that are handicapped, disabled. You know, they cannot be on their different level, I'm sure, of kids who are disability. You know, what if you have blind kids or you have deaf kids? How are you going to do online learning? So that was one of the main things I was going to ask my guest tonight. If he's not on yet, Danielle, you can take it over from there. And then we can also talk about what we're going to talk about sometime this week on our Facebook Live. You on there, Danny?
All right, Mr. B. You know, first of all, most of our listeners know by now that I have I'm in the educational profession, my specialty being special needs. Kids with special needs learn different special needs. they learn differently, which means plunking them in front of a laptop is not going to get them at their full potential. I get the fear about COVID and you know, scared for our children to get sick. I get that. However, then parents need to be able to have a outlet or an option to get some home instruction for their children, so their children who are already behind won't be lost completely.
And see, and you're exactly right with that, because you think about it. What if you have a kid that's just in inner city schools? You know, what keeps it inner city schools, because that's what I relate to, of inner city schools. And what if they're honor student in inner city schools? Are inner city schools honor classes different than a suburban honor school class? That's one question
yes,
that people need to understand, because you know, math is, let's say, okay, let's do this, Danny, you'll be able to relate to this. Let's say Oakwood City Schools in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, and Meadowdale High School in Ohio. Totally different class, totally different type of class of students, totally different type of class of, what you want to say, families. You have the 1% against the rest of us. And the Oakwood City School is going to be completely better than the city schools at the regular city schools. Not saying that those kids are better than the kids in the inner city schools, but they're going to be taught a lot better. They're going to be the best of the best. And how fair is that? How are these kids going to represent that?
Well, here's the part that a lot of people don't realize, and this is the part that is messed up. Basically, most, if not all, the districts get the same amount of money. Get the same amount of money, and Dayton Public Schools is a huge district, whereas Oakwood has got an elementary school. That basically, there are three schools that are receiving the same amount of money as 20-something schools in Dayton Public Schools.
Exactly.
So that's the scary part.
Yes, it is scary.
It's not fair. So the resources go further. They have the money for the best of the best teachers. They have the money for a Chromebook or iPad for every child.
We'll get on that in a second.
They have the money for new textbooks every year. They have the money for field trips. And I think Mr. Kilgore is here. Let me find out.
Okay.
Danny, is that you? Nope, not yet.
Okay.
It was somebody, but it's not Danny. He's on his way. I just contacted him.
Okay. Here's the thing I need to understand is this, and it really throws me for a loop every time we have. That they may have just to ask for a loop. This is something we have problems with. A lot of things we have problems with as far as, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a little station identification problems. My thing is this. Let's also talk back about sports in the city schools.
Yeah.
If you go to Meadowdale, Dunbar, I'm talking about Dayton City Schools is all I can relate to because that's where I went. You have kids that go to Meadowdale, Dunbar, Patterson. Well, Patterson's not there anymore. Colonel White, they're not there anymore. All the city schools in Dayton, Ohio. And if you have kids going to go to these schools, and they're talking about no sports, some of these kids rely on sports to get them to the next level. And I mean the next level, I'm talking about college. Think about how many kids that you went to schools with. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the kids that we have kids in the city schools, and they're not going to be able to go to school because this virus is going around, and they depend on sports to get them to the next level of college. How are we going to do that?
Yeah.
That's one thing. A lot of kids in the inner city schools can't afford to go to college because they depend on sports. They depend on that to get them through. Not saying they don't have the academic smarts to get through, but a lot of parents don't have
the
money to even think that. That's right. And they don't even have the motivation to go to school. They do have the motivation to go to school, but parents that are in these schools, they're working for two or three jobs, and they can't get in. You know, they can't get them in. They don't have the money to get them in. And that's the main thing that concerns me about this whole virus thing. You know, I believe it's something special, but I believe, to me, this is just me coming out of me. This is Bozilla saying it. I think it's bad, but but I don't think it's as bad as they try to make it sound like. I think that they are more of a scare tactic right now, because this, mm-hmm. this has been in the works for a long time. Then what about the flus and all the pneumonias that went around before this right here? The flu was bad. You know, one time
right,
the flu was killing people.
Yeah, 20 minutes and Mr. Kilgore just got here.
All right, is he there? Is he
sorry,
there?
I'm late, guys.
All right, man, it's all right, man. Things happen. So what's going on with you, man? You know, I'm so sorry that you didn't get into office. Right, you know, I pumped you. You know, and that's their loss. That's their loss if they didn't bring you in, because that is you're a young man and you had a young look at what was going on. And that's what I think that this government needs. It needs a young look, the young eye to adjust to what's going on with this older things that have been happening. Because the older law is not actually doing the right thing. They've had it for so long, it's dead. The older way to do stuff is dead. We need a new generation to take this country to another level. And people mm-hmm. just don't want to let go. So how do you feel about that, man?
Yep.
Let us know what you think.
Yeah. Well, that's something I had brought up in a couple of our debates that we had and other moments. I'm like, well, you got people that have been in office since the 90s. Like in the 90s, $20 bought you a cart full of groceries. Now $20 barely even buys you five things at the grocery store anymore. So the things that I remember growing up no longer exist for us anymore. Hell, like even the elementary school I went to no longer exists. It's completely gone. So people are not thinking of, they're thinking, oh, everything's fine. You can still go buy a house. You can work this job. And when I was 18, my uncle was like, oh, you got to get your own place. He's like, well, you go get a job in the factory making $10
mm-hmm.
an hour. Then you can go buy yourself a house, and that's all you
mm-hmm.
need to do. And I'm like, but I got student loans. I have a car payment. I'm like, the rent in town starts out about $500 if I can find one.
Exactly.
And that's not enough. Now, fast forward to 2020. Nowhere in the United States can you afford rent off of minimum wage. You could barely even afford it at $15 an hour. Now, if you turn the eye to the minority communities, they're making far less than anybody else. They have less adequate health care than anybody else.
Yeah.
Their schools are so underfunded, they're treated as if they're from a different country almost, it seems like. And people don't seem to notice these things because I think that they don't even want to look at it. And
exactly.
The best way I can explain it is, like, the Jim Crow era didn't die with the Civil Rights Act, with the stroke of the pen of President Johnson. It just evolved.
Yes.
It adapted.
Yes.
And everyone's just thinking.
From a crow to a pterodactyl.
Yeah. And right now we're looking at de facto segregation. Like it's
mm-hmm.
not openly blatant for all to see, but
mm-hmm.
there's certain little things that prevent different groups from entering neighborhoods, from entering schools, from entering sports, to entering professional life. They're
mm-hmm.
so minute, people might just overlook them because they're not looking for it. But when
right.
you sit down and you study it and take a hard look at it, why
mm-hmm.
is a white woman making 40 cents less than a man, a white man, but a woman of color, with either African American, Latino, Asian, is making almost a dollar less than that white man?
Uh-huh.
Then you have the white man that's able to buy a car at a relatively good interest rate, say like 3.5% or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
But a man of color could end up having an interest rate of, say, 10%. Exact same credit
yeah.
rating, exact same pay scale, but he gets a higher interest rate.
Right.
And yet those things are considered legal. But when
mm-hmm.
we're looking at it now, we're like, how in the world is this even legal? but the law
right.
says it's legal. There's so many things
mm-hmm.
that are just completely blown out of whack. And
it is. It is. It's
and
completely.
It's real, yeah.
And it's blatant. It's like hiding in plain sight.
Yeah, it's like Wells Waldo. He's there.
Yes.
It might take you a few minutes to find him, but he's there.
Exactly. Exactly.
And
it's sickening when you see it.
It is. Because, like, most of my life, I was thinking, I'm fine. It's going to be a little difficult. I can make it through. Then as I got older, realizing when you're gay, you don't have the same rights as everybody else. You can't do the same things as everybody else.
Right.
And it's the same way for, like, people of color. When you step out of the door, you're automatically prejudged.
Yeah.
And then, like, when people like myself, like, everyone automatically assumes that you're attracted to every person that you see. And I'm like, no, that has nothing to do with it. I just came in to buy a cup of coffee. But
right.
it's the same thing. It's just perceived differently. But the fact of the matter is, the being judged by the color of your skin when you walk out of the door, you have a higher probability of being killed than someone that's gay anymore in the United States. Like,
mm-hmm.
we've had 4 attempted lynchings since George Floyd died.
Yes.
We had an EMT who was shot to death in her bed by the police department for a no-knock warrant on the wrong house, and they still haven't even been arrested for it yet or even charged for the crime.
Exactly. It hasn't even been recognized as a crime yet.
Then we had Elijah Clemmings, who was a violinist, went on a walk, and he was tackled and murdered by the police. And still nothing's happened to him. And I learned about his case relatively recently. It was shortly before Congressman Lewis's passing, listening to Congressman Lewis talk about this kid. And it,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, how did this fall under the radar?
Yeah.
Then
they
have a memorial service for him with people playing violins, and they're attacked with rubber bullets and tear gas and pepper spray.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of what they taught me in school. This is 1960s, McCarthyism, Jim Crow, the governor of Alabama that says this is never going to be desegregated. It looks exactly like that all over again.
Yes. All those things that they said were gone, that we don't have to worry about anymore. No, we still do.
Mm-hmm.
It's saddening that here in 2020, we even are using the word lynched anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I take exception to when people say that, well, you know, gay people don't have to worry about it anymore. They do. It's different now. It's a different arena.
We've had 24 transgender women murdered, and no one's been arrested for those crimes. They were not only were they transgender women, but they were transgender women of color. And they had done nothing wrong, but they had been murdered. And no one spoke about them. When during the presidential process, the debates, the primaries, I only heard of 2 presidential candidates mention their name and bring them up in discussion. And that was Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Kamala Harris.
Wow.
They were outspoken and they were outraged at the fact that nobody seems to care, but
right.
yet we all want achieve equality, and we can't achieve equality if we're turning blind eyes to all the injustices that we're seeing. We have a higher incarcerated population than the whole nation of Lithuania. per capita, we have more people in jail than an entire country. We
have
school systems that are so underfunded that they can't afford updated books.
Mm-hmm. But yet you're going to keep them home now and expect them to learn.
Yep. Like in the 15th Congressional District where I was running, some of these people cannot afford internet. They do not have access to internet. They don't even have access to indoor plumbing and running water.
Wow.
And yet we're supposed to expect them to send their children to school because they don't have internet, and we don't have a vaccine. We don't even have an effective treatment plan yet. And yet when we're looking at trying to keep our children safe, because we've seen what this virus does, it ravages the respiratory system, your blood circulation, your brain, your heart, your liver. It just rips it apart. Those that do survive, they're left with permanent damage.
It almost seems like a flesh-eating virus that attacks the internal organs instead of the external.
Yeah. And that's what separates this from a flu. The Spanish flu, what was the ultimate killer in it? The first wave, it was just a normal flu, severe flu. The second wave, the virus mutated. And the treatment that they had used that perfected during the first wave, they tried to use it on the second wave. But because the disease had mutated, the people were slowly drowning in their own beds. As they were breathing, their lungs slowly filled up with water, and they died that way because of a flu. And they had no way of knowing it back then. And
yeah,
this
is
something
kind of
that's completely separate.
This is a smart virus.
Yes. And
that's
you're
why
expecting
I think that
us
we can't get a treatment because it keeps changing.
And like, and they're expecting us to go about business as usual, but there's no way to do so because it's in the air. It could be on someone's shirt and you just don't know. And children are vulnerable. Our seniors are vulnerable. Those that are cancer patients, lung transplant patients, they're all vulnerable. And we got to think about all of them as well. And that's something that Trump and DeVos and other people of this administration, they haven't been too keen on because they just see the almighty dollar.
Yes.
And I might be a little old-fashioned for being as young as I am. The human body is not meant to be used as a workhorse or a pack mule. We would like to actually have a life instead of serving someone like Bezos, who during this pandemic has increased his wealth by $13 billion.
Wow.
The five richest Americans increased their total wealth by almost $500 billion. Since March.
Wow.
So there's a whole lot of inequality going around everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. I believe that at this point it's beyond race. It's become a class war. And even in a class war, of course it's going to become about color because who are your people who are usually at or below the poverty line?
People of color.
Yeah. So I believe this has become a class war. It's become the haves versus the have-nots. And in the meantime, we've got a virus that is basically learning as it goes. And the people that have the money, they can basically live off of what's in their account, and they can just sit back and watch. While those of us who have to work for a living and they don't have gophers that go for this and go for that, basically just suffer and die. And, you know, and if they do care, the best part that you ever get is, oh, that's tragic.
Yeah. And,
and then
that's
they don't, then
quite terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's absolutely terrifying. Like, going back and looking, when I was running my campaign, there was a reason why I had my gold standard was Franklin Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people were saying the economy was doing great, everyone's doing fine, I'm like, no. Franklin, he came in 1932, the Great Depression. You had 35 million unemployed. You had bread lines. You had soup kitchens. People, banks were closed. People were in complete panic. He came in, created a bank holiday, regulated Wall Street and banks so that they couldn't cause that vicious cycle that kept happening every 10 years of recession. He stopped that. He got the working man to actually have enough money in their pocket to actually take a vacation with their families, to buy a car, to buy a house. He built, through his New Deal program, 57,000 new hospitals, 37,000 new schools. Like, the man was doing everything he could for the working class people. And he heavily regulated industries that basically caused depression in the first place. And he wanted people to have a living wage, to have a good income, to have good health care, to have peace of mind. That's why we have Social Security. That's why we have Medicare, which was signed by President Truman, but it was a Rooseveltian idea of good education. And that's why he pushed for the GI Bill.
It's less about the piece of the pie and more about peace of mind.
Yeah.
You know, if you're worried about if your kids are going to eat, you're not going to be very productive.
And Roosevelt was thinking of the whole family, the whole picture. And I think that's why he ended up winning 4 elections.
Oh, yeah.
And granted, people in Congress were terrified of someone like him coming around again. That's why they enacted the 2-term limit. But that man did so much in his 12 years, got us out of the Great Depression, got us almost all the way to the end of World War II. And because of his policies, he pushed economic growth all the way up until the Reagan administration. So that is a lasting
legacy.
Yeah, it was a legacy, and he was able to think far out. Then enter in Reaganomics, and everything starts going into that vicious cycle again. And no one seemed to want to fix it. Even some of Democratic candidates, they'll talk about Roosevelt, they'll say they're inspired by Roosevelt, but yet they haven't been able to live up to Roosevelt.
No, and that's
which,
I hate to say it. It's become, because it's become that money game. Like Franklin Roosevelt could give a whit about a lobbyist. You know, I think at this point we have too many people worrying about what does the bottom line mean for me, and that goes into the presidential race. It always comes down to what does this do for me and my constituents. It's not about the country anymore. It's not about – I have heard our current president say several times over, because I'm the president, I can do that. And that tells you right there he's not thinking about the country.
No. He's only thinking about himself.
My gosh.
The man's an egotistical maniac.
Yes. The word, my goodness, the word tyrant comes to mind, but then I didn't say that, did I? Nope, you didn't hear it.
Like, even myself, like, going through and looking at everything, anytime I gave a speech or appeared on the debate stage or even talked with other candidates, I always referred to, like...
We got 10 seconds, friend. Oh my gosh, we gotta do part 2 or 3 or 4, whatever it was. Oh my gosh.
Well, I'm sorry I was late.
Oh, you know what?
We might have had a little more time.
We're going to reschedule you, okay, Danny?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Come back again. We'll schedule something. Let me know when you're available, okay?
All right.
All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.